Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, wrapping things up here. We got just about a half hour to go, which means there are only 6.5 hours left of Cleveland Browns Daily before our next show is after the season opener. That's against right. The Miami Dolphins, obviously. A very, 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 very welcome
season
opener.
What will that show be like?
Hopefully good. Hopefully it'll be really
good.
How
will we be feeling?
Hopefully it'll be Jubilation City and we'll be dancing in the streets.
What will the building be like?
Well, it's going to be one of two ways. I think there is a clear couple ways to go here. We're going to take some more calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. You can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Also want to remind you that you can stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit clevelandbrowns.com. Download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We got some people on the line, Dino? Let's go.
All
go
right,
to it.
Birdman in Cleveland with us.
The Birdman. Bird.
Caca.
Doing this afternoon. First of all, I love the show. Big Browns, Cavs, and Indians fans, win or lose. The question I got for you gentlemen this afternoon is regarding that chicken game that we just seem to be behind the eight ball here a week before the game season kickoff. Is that the deep feel once we hire North Turner that the offense is going to crank it up a little bit, that we don't have to have feel that money can be used something else? We're going to be in the red zone and maybe scoring a little bit more touchdowns. And Phil is not really going to be missed until it gets cold outside. As you can see, the punter can come out here and kick field goals for us, et cetera. But the question I got for you guys, should we have just paid Phil? Did he just, A, want to do town? Or we were just loading him up to say, here you go, because you are one of the best kickers outside of Janikowski in the league. And we let it be. But now here we are, and we're going to miss it. Actually, we're not going to miss it now, but when the fridge get cold at the energy, we're going to miss it. And then do you think we let one get away? You guys have a great show. Continued success.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, I think that there are two sides to every free agent story. Number one, where the organization wanted to allocate its resources building this team for the future. Number two, Phil Dawson, been in the league for 14 years, whether or not he wanted to play for an immediate Super Bowl contender. So I don't think they necessarily made a mistake in letting one get away. I think this money, as the years go on, will be spent wisely and judiciously by this organization. And they decided at that time they didn't want to make that significant of an investment into a kicker at this stage of his career. So I think that's what happened there. And we'll find out. Again, they're going to bring somebody in who's competent in kicking a football. And hopefully, will they do what Phil Dawson did from beyond 50 yards? No. But again, Phil Dawson's year last year was by far his best. He was around 81%, 82% the two full seasons prior. So you remember last year very fondly and very favorably, as you should. But it was not necessarily indicative of everything that Phil Dawson had done over his entire career. Is a guy a great kicker? Absolutely. That's why he's been in the league as long as he has been. Unfortunately, he was the focus of the Cleveland Browns offense and was their most potent offensive player. And this, hopefully that won't be the case this year, and you won't need to rely on a kicker as much.
And the analytical guidance on this basically said that if you had the best kicker percentage-wise and you were pushing something in the 87% range of field goals, the very best guy gets in that area. The difference is about a game and a half. It's not as enormous a difference as you think, even though there's a perception that over the 14 years that Phil Dawson was here, because he carried the offense so much on his leg, their ability to score was basically him, that it's been overstated what he means, what a kicker means. Let's take Phil Dawson out of the equation, the person, because he's so beloved. But the importance of the kicker, I think, got sort of blown out of proportion because of this team's inability to score. And it was a lot of lousy football and low-scoring football that essentially said, yeah, but number three delivered the kicks. Okay, great. And you want that, but you more want that idea of being able to score and score with your offense. And the other part of this thing is, you know, a game or game and a half or whatever it might be in terms of differences in difference-making, the caller, you know, Birdman was focusing, and I thought this was a great point, on cold weather and on the conditions that you deal with. And, yeah, I want a kicker who handles that the way Dawson did. That isn't what made Dawson Dawson, his distance, his reliability in all conditions. But when they make this choice, you're going to make this choice with an eye toward a kicker who has to know, and the team has to know, that he can handle that. Bob in Strongsville. Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. First of all, I'd like to say that I think the Browns have made vast improvements. Number one, in the coaching staff. Number two, I think that they made vast improvements in the defensive line. That being said, At the beginning of this period, I felt that there were a few glaring needs on the team that have still not been addressed. Number one, let's forget about the kicker. Okay, we're going to find a kicker. But we had a dire need for a cornerback, a safety, an offensive guard, and now with Josh Gordon and Greg Little showing their immaturity, we had a need for a wide receiver. To this date, I still don't really see those areas of being addressed by management. And to me, I personally feel, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think that the best we're going to do is a 7-9 season. And I just feel like, you know, we're 2, maybe 3 years away from making the playoffs. Then we've got a quarterback that's 33 or 34 years old. And he, to me, he still hasn't proved that he is the guy that we can, go to the promised land with. You know, I would like to know your thoughts. You know, how far away are we? And do you really think that they've made the right moves, especially in the draft? Number one, I never would have taken Mingo. I'd have taken a guard, Womack, or the safety. I think he was out of Texas. Guys, I do appreciate your show very much. And sure. Thank you.
I think if they were going to go safety, they would have been able to trade down. And I think ultimately, to me, the one question that I have is I don't have any beef with Mingo. I think that, you know, when you look at this team and say all the needs that are out here, the one thing that'll kind of linger with me for a little while as we see how Mingo performs over the next few years is the trade from the Rams, the offer to get a first-round pick and a second-round pick in the middle of each of those two rounds, how that would have affected this team being able to bring in two guys. I don't think they did not address cornerback. They brought in Chris Owens as a free agent. They drafted Leon McFadden in the third round. Whether those guys pan out or not, it could be another matter altogether. But they certainly seem to, at least in my opinion, address the cornerback position. Yes, this is a team that has holes. This is a team that is a building franchise. It is a, in some ways, a team building towards the future. I don't think that there is any, you know, any certainty that Brandon Whedon is a long-term quarterback. So if they make the playoffs in 2 to 3 years, that he would be, you know, at that age or right. Be the guy. I think that there certainly are a lot of options and opportunities to say, you know, one of the reasons I think they picked up an extra third, an extra fourth, more assets in the event that they feel they need to move up and there's a quarterback that they want to be the future, that's possible. There are a couple good ones in the draft next year, Teddy Bridgewater, Taj Boyd. But given what's here right now, I think this team is doing what they think is right to build sustainable success. And that is the mantra here. That's the code. That's what it's about.
And it begins with not just the youth, but also the area of the team that can get you better faster while you're waiting on a quarterback and while you're waiting on some of these other areas to come around, and that is defense, that is pass rush, that is the front seven, and that is a full investment in the conversion to the 3-4. That is why the Barkevious Mingo pick did make sense. Why overloading on those assets, including Paul Kruger in free agency and Desmond Bryant in free agency and Quinton Groves in free agency, it didn't surprise me in the least. I felt they were always going to go down the road of getting that guy, of getting another pass rusher. And this hue and cry for a guard now, I mean, a lot of it is revisionist history because of what happened at guard. Yeah, they lost two guys to ankle issues, and I'm not saying either one of those guys was necessarily a Pro Bowler in Sean LaVau or Jason Pinkston, but they ended up with a little bit of a crisis at that position. And, you know, the answer people have is, you know, if they had just gone ahead and drafted a guard, they'd have that solved. No, not necessarily. And I'm not even comfortable with the idea of investing where they were, a sixth overall pick and a guard. No, I don't do that. You might do that with an offensive tackle. I'm not doing that with a guard. And they didn't need a tackle. So as you really look hard at this thing, You can second guess like crazy about the spots that you wanted them to take. And yes, guard was something I'd like to have seen them address, but not in the draft and maybe in free agency. And it could be something that comes up next year. It would have been the one spot, I think, to get this year while you were doing some of those other things. But no, I wasn't going to do that in the draft. And I don't have remorse. I don't feel a sense of, you know, that they missed something, Nathan, because they didn't get a chance, Womack, that they didn't go guard in this draft and then instead went with yet another pass rusher at a position where, at an area where you're calling this your strength. You're going to ride this to wherever you're going to go, mainly.
That's the key, and that covers up the back end. If the pass rush is as effective as they hope it will be, it will cover up the back end of the defense and the flaws that may be there with the youth and inexperience and the unproven nature of the guys on that side of the ball. All right, when we return, we're going to wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We're going to run through our division picks in the NFC and more on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.